Ja.
A pesar de lo que dice, lo llevamos en el alma cicatrices imposibles de borrar.
Last winter, I traveled to Mexico for a wedding, my brother's wedding. This is a record of that journey. It is a story with stray connections of memories, exile, and dreams.
De la estatura de tu vida, ya soy el otro sabor, ese de olvidar, ya hay un pacto entre los dos.
Mexico is a big country, the eighth largest in the world, about a quarter the size of the United States, with which it shares a frontier of 2,000 miles. In its geography, the country is roughly speaking a plateau, flanked by ranges of mountains paralleling the coast. The population of 90 million lives mostly in the cities. Of that 90 million, there are an estimated 24 million Indians, 54 different kinds of them, and each group has its own language. 9% of the population is white, and the rest, 60%, is mestizo, a mixture of Spanish and Indian. It makes for a complicated history, to say the least, from the great civilizations of the Maya and the Aztecs to the 300 years of Spanish rule. From the fierce blood sacrifice of pre-Columbian times to the devout Catholicism of the present, from the revolution of the early years of this century to the upheavals, financial and political, taking place at the moment.
Ni siquiera sientas pena por delante, él lo escondió.
The poet Octavio Paz, the Nobel laureate, said, "There is a Mexico which is buried but alive." Or more accurately, there is in Mexican men and women a universe of buried images, desires and impulses. Porfirio Diaz, the great dictator who ruled the country for 30 years, saw it another way. Poor Mexico, he said, so far from God and so close to the United States.
We are flying over the state of Puebla, flying direct to the main city. Over there, five more minutes. From there, we will fly direct to Mexico City. You will be able to see on our descent to Mexico City, left hand side of the aircraft, the volcano Popocatépetl is taxi.
Your attention, please. We will soon be landing. Kindly straighten your seat backs, fasten your seat belts, lock your service cables, and do not smoke. Thank you.
The capital, Mexico City, is vast and seems to go on forever. A quarter of the entire population lives here. That's 24 million or so, and every one of them seems to drive a car. And because insurance is not mandatory, a lot of the cars are bangers. The city is built in a saucer, an old lake bed surrounded by mountains, and the smog just sits over it. You can see it from the plane from a long way off.
Suplicamos a ustedes que para su propia seguridad permanezcan sentados hasta que el avión se detenga totalmente y quede apagado el aviso de...
The air is thin in the city because of the altitude. As people remember from the 1968 Olympics, it's over 2,000 meters, twice as high as the highest point in Ireland. You find it hard to breathe, and what you do breathe is heavy with carbon monoxide. But it's still a very green city. In one of the leafier parts, I met a man called Daniel Martinez and two other actors who were putting on a production of a Frank McGuinness play, Someone Who'll Watch Over Me, in English. They don't know what the Dublin accent sounds like, and they asked me to read the lines of Edward Sheridan, a character with a strong resemblance to Brian Keenan in the play, which is about English-speaking hostages in Beirut. The three actors are of very different backgrounds, but each regards himself as 100% Mexican. Like the US, this country has a melting pot of its own, and indeed it has an immigrant problem of its own from the south. Cool, stone-floored apartment of his parents, looking out on a garden with an impossibly green lawn, Daniel tells me how he came to be producing the play.
We bought the rights about a year ago, and at first we tried to do it in Spanish, and we tried several translations and tried several adaptations to it, but it didn't work. A lot of the fun of it, the themes, yeah. A big part of it was lost in the translation, in the adaptation. So then I got the idea of putting it in English with English-speaking actors. We thought we could do it for an English-speaking crowd, which there's a lot of.
There must be a large English crowd, and there's two English newspapers in the city.
Yeah, about 200,000.
200,000.
English speakers who are not Mexican. Hmm. But I saw a lot of potential in the play. Oh. I don't know, I guess it's a growing love affair with the play. You know, there's always something new in it for me. At first, I was very interested in the relationship of the three men in captivity, and then it was also the national themes, you know, the Irishman, the Englishman, the American, and the way their relationship grows. And then it's also the humor of it. Then it's also the possibilities as an actor, or director in my case, of how to approach it, how to explore it, you know, the journey. My mother is English, from Jewish origins in England. So her family, though it's, her parents were born in England and her grandparents were born in England, her great-great-grandparents probably immigrated from Russia and from Spain. So it's an interesting mixture.
How did she come to Mexico?
She came here because she met my father in England. My father is Mexican. So they came here in the 60s and they had me. Yeah, so it's basically my origin. Well, I've lived in England, trained in England. It's very funny, I feel more Mexican.
Alberto Laumnitz plays the part of the Irish character Sheridan.
I think there are two sort of interesting aspects on the first part. The one part is sort of, it's like a joke. There's an American, an Englishman, and an Irishman in a cell. And so it plays a lot on the cultural stereotypes, which are there for a reason. And I think they really, the Englishman really is very English in the play, and the American is, you know, you can really see him as a typical American, and the Irishman, you know, seems very Irish from what the little I know of Irish culture. And so I think that's fascinating, the cultural differences. And what's most important in the play is that those cultural differences at the end, of course, in this extreme situation, come down to nothing, and there's something much deeper than the cultural differences. So it's a really... I think it's a beautiful piece in that sense, because it's on the one hand it shows the cultural differences very strongly, and they are there, and they're enormous obstacles for communication between the characters, but they are broken down because they're in a situation in which much more important than any of that is the fact that they're all together in the same boat, mm. held hostages. I see that very much in the Irish character.
Yeah.
In the songs he sings, in the Unc also, there's a personal aspect to that as well, mm-hmm. which is that the character is a journalist, and as such is always getting commissions away from home, and so there's also a very strong personal aspect to that he's always sort of lived abroad himself, also personally.
Yeah,
I think the Englishman is slightly different because the poetry he brings in and the stories he brings in tend to be more about death, for example, uh-huh. coming back to life. I think each character tends to view it a little bit different, but the Irishman definitely talks a lot about exile.
But I think this theme of exile or living abroad is very much present, you know, mm-hmm. with all of them. And of course, it's only accentuated by the fact that they are in a cell in Lebanon.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, you get the question of, why did I come here?
Yes, I actually arrived in Mexico when I was about 7 or 8 years old.
Mm.
And my parents have been pretty much, you know, changing countries since the Second World War.
Mm.
So I have family all over the world, so I know a lot about exile.
Luis Artagnan, who plays the American, comes from a French family but was born in Mexico City.
I learned to speak English here in Mexico first in American school. And they taught English with the American accent. So, well, that's the accent I got from my teachers. And then, well, I traveled to several countries and I've used English to communicate. And then I came back and started to teach English. And that way I kept my English. It's a beautiful play because many aspects about the human being converge here. But which is more attractive to me is the fact that we have here three human beings that belong to the race that rules the world nowadays, right? Somehow Englishmen had the period of ruling the world, and Americans rule the world now.
And Irishmen will.
An Irish whale. That's what. That's what. Edward says that. As soon as he gets out of the cell, and they find themselves in a situation they didn't ever they couldn't ever imagine. They are nothing. They are insects. So this make them, I think. This make them feel human beings, and this make them bring out things they wouldn't ever have brought out if they hadn't been in that situation. I think we can learn a lot when we see a champion defeated.
Not far away from Daniel's house in the National Anthropological Museum, out in the heat, the Indian drummers are at work. Chiapas, in the extreme south of the country on the border with Guatemala, is where the Zapatista revolutionary movement began. And it is the second poorest of the 29 states of Mexico. Its population is largely indigenous Maya Indians. In the neighboring state of Oaxaca, you can see where the Indian culture meets the Spanish. Out in the countryside around the state capital, also called Oaxaca, are the remains of four great palaces at Mitla, literally the place of the dead. Nearer the city is the extraordinary Monte Albán, the ancient capital of the Zapotec culture, which flourished in the first millennium BC. Monte Albán is a great plateau cut out of a high mountain with stepped pyramids around a 300-meter rectangular plaza. There's a still palpable aura of human sacrifice about the place. Oaxaca is a small town, still very Indian, though it was built entirely by the Spanish. It's a meeting point of all the tribes that live around the area who come down to trade there. It has the most remarkable market for local crafts, carpets, pottery, wood carvings, silver, tin, and there's a big trade in chocolate. In appearance, the town is Spanish colonial. There are many exquisite Baroque churches from the 17th century, and the central square, the Zocalo, is surrounded by arcades. It is here in the Zocalo, underneath the high evergreen oaks, that people gather in the evenings to eat, to talk, to stroll about looking at everybody else, and to listen to the music. In a small cafe on one of the side streets, I fell into conversation with the owner, who turned out to be Greek. His name is Alex.
We sell lots of things here. We have four stores. In one store we sell electronic, TVs, videos, refrigerators, washing machines. about the house. In the other store we sell only watches. It's a small store. In another store, we sell CDs, compact discs, cassettes, and gifts, cigars or for presents. And the main store is in this corner, and here we sell almost everything. I born in Greece, in a small village in north of Greece, from Macedonia. Close to Thessaloniki, 100 kilometers west of Thessaloniki. My village is Eratira, and the country is Kozani, the place. Eratira, Kozani. And my parents are agriculture. I have a brother, he's a teacher. After I finished high school, I went to Romania. I studied drilling engineering, oil engineering. I studied 1 year in Bucharest and 5 years in Ploiești. It's a city 60 kilometers north of Bucharest. It's in central Romania. After this, I went to Chicago, to University of Illinois, to study my master's degree. In the first month, I met my wife. I get married. I quit studying and they came to Mexico.
She is Mexican?
Yeah, she's Mexican from Oaxaca. I went back to the States. I stayed for 2 years. I opened a restaurant with my cousin in Indianapolis. But my wife got pregnant. She wanted to come back. I like better Mexico than the States. And I am here now. I have 6 years since September 89, 2 days before my daughter was born. So as old as my daughter, as long I am here in Mexico. Mexico is a nice country. The people are very friendly. But 30-40% of the population, they don't have the enough resources to have a better opportunities for a better job and the most important, better education. Those people, they need more help from the government to have more education. That's the most important thing, education. There, if you teach them, they learn very fast. But you have a big crisis now because the dollar. 1 year ago, the dollar was 330 pesos, and now it's 750. The interest of the bank was 15%. Now it's about 40 or 45. We had a very difficult year in 95. But now the economy started picking up again, little by little. And I hope this is going to be the last crisis of Mexico. So, and this president, I think he took a good measure to say all of the parties, the Communist Party, the three or the four most important parties, political parties of Mexico, to make a commission and the whole parties to talk with those people from Chiapas. There are 2,000-3,000 people, or I don't know how much more, probably 2,000, but you cannot criticize the whole Mexico for one state or even for 20 or 30 or 50,000 people when the whole Mexico is about 80 or 90 million. In this place and in other places of south of Mexico, the people, with the help of the government, of the Secretary of Tourism, they build houses, handmade houses, and they rent them. And you can go to rent them for 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 days. You are in the middle of the forest, in the middle of the trees, and you eat the native food, you relax. If you're close to the coast, okay, especially in this place, in close to Puerto Escondido, you can go with the fishermen, with the fishermen, to have a walk, no walk, with a boat. I don't know if you say walk with a boat or
a lancha.
With a small boat, to see the tortoise, or to go fishing, or whatever. Probably other day you go with a guide to see the coffee plantations, the coffee trees, the forest, because we have tropical forest, especially here in Oaxaca, Chiapas, the south of Mexico. Oaxaca is in the middle of the Sierra Madre Oriental and Sierra Madre Occidental, so from the both sides. From one side you have the Pacific, from there you said the Atlantic was. So from the both sides, the forests are amazing.
The latest attraction of Alex's small corner shop is the internet. He only heard about it 6 weeks ago, and now he provides internet access for anyone who walks in off the street.
Now, give me the family rate.
Family rate?
My Greek colleague in Detroit will want to know what kind of a deal you gave me. Petros Yanatos, all right?
The cheapest. The cheapest in the world.
One of his first customers is a professor from Flint, Michigan, Hugh Stilley.
1 pesos per minute.
That's a lot of pesos.
In New York, they charge $10 for 20 minutes.
I'm a poor school teacher, hombre.
We charge academic price.
A better price, see.
Academic prize.
Oh, that sounds bad. I don't like to hear that.
I knew it was available in Mexico. I just didn't know how I was going to get access. That's all.
We just essential business you were doing, or was it just?
It was both personal and professional. I wrote a letter of recommendation for a fellow trying to get promotion and tenure at my college in the United States. I wrote a letter to a fellow that I am co-writing an article with, and he had accepted the stuff that I edited before Christmas, and that was nice. And I wrote my wife, and I wrote a couple of colleagues, and checked the mail.
You checked your own email at home?
My own email at home, yeah. And I did a couple other professional things. I guided a student on his thesis and a student on a singular project. You know. So I got a lot of work done. My friend Alex, told me that it had just arrived in Oaxaca essentially 5 months ago or something.
Yeah. I'd only arrived here, I think, 5 days ago.
Well, no.
In this shop.
Well, is that true? I thought you were hooked up before then.
No?
Oh, I get a really good discount because I'm one of your first month's customers. That's worth about 35%.
The price with the discount included.
Yeah, right.
Hugh's love of Mexico goes back a long way. When he was living in El Paso, he moved south of the border so that his daughter could be born there. He's hoping to retire to Mexico, but he's going to have to convince his wife. Another man in the cafe, Nico, is going to retire to Mexico. Like Alex, the owner, he's also Greek in origin, but is smaller and older, maybe late 40s, and has spent most of his working life in New Jersey. He's on his way to the tropical southwest coast to negotiate a plot of land for his dream home.
I find a very nice property right on the top of a hill, and I have a great view. For my left, I have Zicatela. It's a small playa with a rocks. On my left, I have a Puerto Escondido with a faro and the light. It's very graphic, especially at night. Now, if you turn 180 degrees, you have the mountains, the campus, and far away you have a river. They call it La Barra. I also, by walking around and searching for a lot, I found a very beautiful design for a house. It's very, very cheap, $5,000. Now, I can build the house with another $15,000, almost complete, because the material here, they're very cheap, very cheap. Also, the labor. You can have a worker for 40 pesos a day. You can hire youngsters for 25. And some of them, they're also the same productive as the adults. You know what I mean? But I have very big experience whatever concerns instructions of a house, from the base all the way up. Because I come from Greece, and we use the same method. And I have many experiences. See, because from the crisis that we have in 1974, as you remember, the oil crisis that we have, everything is changed in the United States. Unions, there was harder to get into it, and a lot of things, a lot of incentives that we have, we lost them. So in order to keep yourself busy, you have to learn to do other things. So today, I'm a plumber, I'm an electrician, I'm a carpenter. I put tiles on the floor, marble, granite, whatever you call it. And I also specialize in decoration. I have a little bit Italian within me. You know what I mean? My mother was Italian, my father was a Greek. So I like beautiful things, and nice things. Not expensive, not chandeliers and crystals and stuff like that. I like simplicity and practicality. So I think I can make my dream house here in Mexico. Not only that, a lot of people, they ask me, well, you're a Greek. How come you don't go back to Greece? Because every immigrant's idea is to go wherever he goes and get whatever money he can get and go back to his own country, to go back. It's not working this way because I've been for 26 years in the United States. Now, if I go back to Greece, I would be like a stranger in my own country. And I feel sorry.
I returned to Mexico City for what was, after all, the purpose of this trip, the wedding of my brother Tom. His wife-to-be, Lupita, comes from the city, but they met on a beach in the south, down near Guatemala. He has lived here for a year now and shows no desire to return home.
Lupita y el señor contrayente adquieren la proeza de ser en esta noche los príncipes del amor. Que sean muy dichosos, que Dios los bendiga. Un aplauso para ellos.
The wedding reception at the Hacienda de los Morales is an extraordinarily lavish affair for about 400 guests. There's dancing and feasting and vintage tequila. And it is 5 in the morning before the band stops playing. In Ireland, at around the time of Tom's wedding, there was a migration in the opposite direction. A Mexican man was moving to live in Dublin. His name was Salinas, and he was thought to be a banana importer. He was very interested in Irish history and literature, and one day he paid a visit to University College Dublin to see Declan Kybird of the English department.
He came at a time when there were a lot of students just about coming on logistical problems to do with tutorials and so on. And he was very keen to get stuck into this topic immediately, and did so, and talked with great authority and warmth indeed about the topics, while explaining, taking great care to explain that his own background wasn't in literature, but was actually in politics and economics. Looking back now, perhaps if I had been a more alert person, or less distracted by the size of the queue still outside the door, I might have realized the significance, but I didn't. I thought that he was probably some kind of journalist or academic in exile. He seemed to have an open-ended time frame. here in Ireland and to want to know and to learn more about the culture.
His visitor was not a banana importer after all, but the former president of Mexico, Carlos Salinas. He had resigned in disgrace after the Zapatista rebellion of January 1994 in Chiapas and before the collapse of the Mexican currency, the peso, in early 1995. If you drove around the broad streets of Mexico City last winter during rush hour, you could buy rubber masks of Salinas from the urchins at the traffic lights. There were little dolls in his likeness of an obscene nature dressed in prison garb. His image, often behind bars, was everywhere.
And he looked very like that classic discalced journalist or academic. He looked slightly scruffy, but in a trendily acceptable kind of way. He wore a knitted cap, I think, through the whole of the interview, and had a kind of sheepskin coat on. So I suggested to him that maybe we could meet and talk more, because I was very interested in things he was saying to me. I was learning a lot from him, to be truthful. And he said, fine, that he would like me to meet his wife. And I said, why don't we all meet in a pub some evening? And he said, sure. And that was the last I heard of it, until I think it was a journalist from the Sunday Times phoned me up a couple of months later. It must have been at least 8 weeks, and said to me, is it true that you have met ex-president Salinas? And I said, no, I don't move in these circles. But they said, rather ironically, we heard he had an audience with you, one of your sessions in UCT. And in fact, it turned out that was the man in question. And it was only in retrospect I realized that the man who had been talking to me had, in the not-too-distant past, talked with much more powerful people than me.
Whatever it was that brought Salinas to Ireland and Tom to Mexico, it seems to me now, had something to do with exile and dreams and memories. Home, after all, is what you carry with you in your heart. And with that, I left my brother and his wife as they headed for the very north of the country, the long, narrow peninsula of Baja California, between the desert and the deep blue sea of the Pacific.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 Dream Beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.